FBI Radio and Fire Up are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators hopple, aren't he, with the left forearm.
It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head crash there.
Oh, very nasty.
And the crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pills. That smashes him to ground.
The one-handed pass back inside.
With a delicate kick.
He smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early.
Thank you, Mrs. Robinson.
Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Then steps again. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris, and Chris Gale. As they fire up.
It is business time, Chris. Business end of the season is officially started as of tonight, the first game of the finals of Rugby League. And hello to all those people out there who really don't give a damn about Rugby League but are happily listening as we speak here. My name is Stephen Ferris. Chris Gale is my wingman, can I call you
oh,
that?
Oh, gee, thanks.
I've never called you that before.
I've been upgraded. So, look, I've packed my pail and my hard hat and I'm ready to go to work. And I just loved it, listening to that introductory audio. If I heard it correctly, it was, and St George slumped to ninth on the ladder. Was that right? Is that what I heard?
Well, that was a prediction I think we all made, wasn't it, last year? I think we overstepped early and we fell back to where we belong. Why the mysteries of rugby league are beyond me. Chris, if I could find a better way and put myself at the top of the ladder, I would, you know that.
We'll talk a bit about mystery today, Stephen.
We will. Now, aspirational drive in Australia. I mean, we know that John Howard tapped into that beautifully when he was running the country. It has never been far from rugby league aspirational thoughts. And how to get to the top of the ladder or the top of the hill or to be the master of your own mind, let alone the master of your own drinking habits or drug habits. Whatever it is, there's an urge to go upwards. And there's not a better vehicle for that than Anthony Seibold, the new coach. Hello, Rabbitohs. And the man was elevated. We all thought, Madge Maguire, bloodshed. We all saw it coming, didn't we?
Yeah, I've heard the expression, the rabbit uh-ohs. But can you be aspirational and relaxed and comfortable at the same time? Did John Howard steer us a little bit wrong there?
He was a clever bugger, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Now,
George fan, I believe.
This man was a mystery to many people, probably not to some of our guests. Dennis Carnahan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
You are in full swing now of Rugby League the Musical.
Oh, it's in full season.
Full season. We love a musical.
It's the Mad Monday season, which is always the best season.
If I could ask you a quick question, what are the top musicals playing in Sydney at the moment? If you were a visitor to this fine city,
you'd probably be looking at getting tickets, the $3,000 tickets to Book of Mormon.
Book of Mormon.
Which is coming up, or maybe, I believe, Kinky Boots, that's coming. In second in the ranking, but number one is, of course, Rugby League the Musical. And only $20.
Okay.
Playing at the Bridge Hotel.
Now, we'll talk more about Alan Jones later, but what would be his pick if there was a musical in town?
Oh, he'd definitely... Well, Alan Jones has picked Rugby League the Musical. I have video of him saying how much we've worked together and how much he loves the show.
And Tim Gore is our special guest today. Good morning, Tim.
And good morning, Steve.
You have driven all the way from Canberra for this special event. This
I have.
Not much to do in Canberra.
I love Canberra. The city. I love it. It's a fine place
really?
To go. Yes, I do. I love the architecture.
Oh,
I love the clover leaves.
Do you like the Federation dream writ large in the plan of the city?
I do.
You've got the King, the Constitution, the Commonwealth all bounded together in parliamentary triangles. Glorious.
How do you feel about Canberra, Tim?
Well, I love Canberra. It grew me. It raised me. It's the safest capital city in the world. For all the things that are wrong with Canberra, e.g. it is absolutely freezing cold. Why would anyone put a city in that God's forsaken spot?
Right.
It's actually a very nice place to have grown up.
They call it politics, don't they?
Well, yes, we have nothing to do with the politics. There are, I think, 272 federal politicians. Canberra has four of them, and we get blamed for the lot.
I've always said you can't get a decent murder in Canberra because it's too safe. I like the water jet. That was one attraction for me. And then
what are you in the past tense? No, it's back up.
It's back up.
The Captain Cook Memorial water jet is back up.
Because at some stage they sort of put it on just like limited display, didn't they?
Because the motor wasn't powerful. They've put in a new donk. Canberra's at home with the summer gnats. They've put in a new donk. They've massive supercharged donk. It.
So and is it actually now driven by the windmills and Lake George? Is that what's actually driving?
No, they're driving Keneally's desalination plant, which never runs.
Canberra's the home to eggs. Those men that use their brains, and women now, they were men, who run the numbers, the data, the stats, etc. And Tim, that's your specialty. We're going to talk about stats a little while. But if I could, learning, aspirational, trying to get yourself better, there are two paths I would have thought. Now,
what you're talking about there, the first one, that's book smart, sorry.
That's book smart. Yeah. That's book smart. It's street smart in rugby league terms.
Street smart.
Street smart. Well, if you go back to 1908, I think those that were hunting for rabbits down in the Burrow down there, those that were down at the wharves at Balmain, Newtown Jets, you know, street smart. You know, lifting kegs all week, get out the footy field, bash somebody. Street smart.
That's correct.
How do I win?
Yeah, I get fit by the way I work, therefore I play by the way I work. Yes, street smart.
But the rugby league player today is a different beast, isn't it, Chris?
Well,
the rugby league player today used different methods.
Start winning, Steve.
Exactly, winnings. Mitchell Pearce has been a man who has lost more times than we've had breakfast at the cafe across the road for Fire Up. Mitchell Pearce has discovered a spiritual path. We only learnt this morning. What is that called? Or who is the man behind this?
Well, it's interesting about Mitchell because I think somewhat facetiously we've described the Mitchell Pearce libraries.
Yes.
Because
libraries.
Yeah. Because Mitchell possibly alluded to a bit like Elle Macpherson's style. He wasn't that keen on a book. Well, how things have changed.
Unless she'd written it.
Didn't she actually say, I actually haven't even read my own autobiography.
I think she may have to.
That's how strongly I am against reading.
Yes.
Because what's Elle, if nothing, but street smart?
No.
But Mitchell, he's now in the thrall of Deepak Chopra's The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success.
Does that surprise you, though? This is the man who went to rehab in Thailand.
I thought it was six, so yes, it does surprise me.
Okay. You didn't realize that's why you haven't.
Seven.
That's why you haven't evolved, Chris.
That's
you
right,
didn't get
I'm
to number
out.
Seven, yes. So the seven spiritual laws of
success.
Success. Wow, okay. Yeah. Let's unpack Deepak in a little while, shall we?
Let's hope he eventually gets to read the conclusion because it hasn't translated at origin level, but anyway.
Now, they're riding high. They'll be playing tonight. Parramatta also riding high, and they're up against Melbourne. I mean, the game that nobody wanted except Parramatta. And, of course, Parramatta were in the doldrums. Doesn't even begin to describe where they were a couple of years ago, does it?
Doghouse.
Now, somehow they crawled their way from the doghouse upwards. There were some harsh lessons along the way. Street smarts?
Definitely street.
Definitely. And Toddy Greenberg, tough?
You know, again, like Chopra, a mentor, but Greenberg has never read anything.
No.
You know, certainly he's never read any of the reports that are coming in about the NRL's lack of performance.
School of hard knocks.
Yeah, absolutely. He's from the street, the rough and tumble of Belmore.
And he said he wasn't around kicking stones.
No, that's right.
Man of action.
That's right.
Right, and Parramatta learned their lessons.
Yeah.
They're nearly at the top.
Street smart.
Okay, street smart. Cam Smith. There's a name that we all love. And we may even have a little bit of audio from Brendan Cowell, if we're lucky, before the end of the show, just to remind ourselves of how much we love Cam Smith here, the Prince of Darkness.
Right? The Octopus.
The Octopus.
The man with no DNA.
No
President
DNA?
Goat.
I didn't know that.
Were you guys aware of the fact that Brendan Cowell identified when talking in, well, can only be referred to as descriptive terms about Cameron Smith, that he likens him to an octopus because he has no DNA.
Mm.
Yeah, and there was a lesson. I didn't know that they had no DNA either.
No.
Is that right? Maybe that's why he's such a good referee whisperer.
Exactly. How do octopuses not have DNA?
I don't know.
Brendan might have made that up.
Well, you, of course, are a marine biologist in one of your many guises, aren't you?
I did go to ANU and study a bit of biology, and creatures have DNA.
We broadcast that as truth.
As fact.
Not fake news.
Not fake.
Real news.
Scientific truth.
Oh, no, boys, you know what's happened. Right. You've become rugby league media. You're making stuff up.
So, Cam Smith apparently learnt the hard way.
School of hard knocks.
Not book smarts.
No. It's not written down in a book, Cameron's learned.
Yeah. Now, he had a very sorry moment in his life, a very harsh lesson. Chris, can you illuminate that one, please?
He was overlooked for the Australian under-17 schoolboys side. The coach said, I need to go in a different direction, Cam.
Right.
And for a lesser person, that would have been it.
Could have broken his back.
I'm down a time zone.
Yeah.
I'm eating fast food.
Oh, no.
But not Cameron.
Oh, no.
He took a lesson.
Okay, harsh lesson.
He didn't write it down.
No.
Because he doesn't want to read.
It was ingrained in his... Not his DNA.
No.
Okay. But he took it in somewhere. Osmosis. I don't know how. So that brings us now to a man who has found a different path. And look at the success story that is South Sydney and where he lands right now. Anthony Seibold. I knew nothing about the man. Tim, did you know anything about Anthony Seabold?
I had heard the name, yeah. And now I've read a few things about what he's done, but I definitely heard the name before this point, but he's come out of the blue for this role. But I think, as we know, Rusty is a thinking man.
Yes.
He is a thinking man, and he's the sort of guy that really has the big ideas.
Yes, he has.
And he has come down and he said, Seabold is my man. And don't forget, he brought Madge out of the woods as well.
Yes.
So he's brought them in, but now he's going a different direction.
You did touch on A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
The mathematician.
Yeah.
In Rusty. He couldn't have played that. It wasn't just, I mean, not method acting. He actually has a beautiful mind.
He does. He does. And the one thing that annoys a lot of people about Rusty is this. When it gets right down to it, he actually is a great actor.
Well. Damn, I wish you hadn't said that. We've never said that in 13 years here.
Oh, I'm sorry, but The Insider, he was brilliant.
Yes.
The Insider was excellent. I agree. Yes. Seabold played for you guys, didn't he? The Canberra Raiders? Or was that
well, most coaches are expected to have played for the Canberra Raiders at some stage. I think it's a qualification. If you haven't played for the Canberra Raiders, you can't coach.
St George as well.
Bellyache,
of course.
Well, obviously the reserves.
St George afterwards. after we have no further use for them,
I'm
they come.
I'm reacting to Rusty being a good actor. I'm trying to find some stuff that speaks against the notion. But the interesting thing about Seabold is at least he goes in with a little bit of... you know, good stuff to begin with, because he's got the lockery voice. He's got it's a bit...
He went the UFO spotter there. That's right.
So, I mean, that's a good start. But he's done something not just imitate Lockyer's voice, hasn't he?
Yes, Fairfax staff writer Adam Pengilly has revealed a Seabold to use Harvard and Google to prepare Rabbitohs for 2018. Now, the Orcs of Mordor are shocked. You know, all those residents down the valley at Waterloo and Redfern, they don't know what's going on. Okay, they're surrounded by University of New South Wales, Sydney University, UTS, Notre Dame. I mean, it's got to have its impact somewhere.
It's like, I think, what, you know, when Hitler annexed Sudetenland in 1936.
Yes,
I mean, the South Sydney heartland is being beset upon by academics.
And if there's intellectuals and eggheads.
If there's a greater cancer in our society than education, I haven't heard it.
No.
To think that the fabric of our society means that we're going to be educated.
Right.
Well, point of order, wasn't Sudetenland accessed in 1938?
Oh, well, it could be. Well, you know. You see, that was the thing. I didn't go to university. I didn't have that chance. And did I suffer? Not at all.
No, look at where you are today.
Okay. Completely inaccurate.
So apparently all this came at the feet of the great man himself, the quiet one, Wayne Bennett, as he was dispensing advice. And Seabold was working under him. He was his mentor. He wrote notes. Now, those notes are like the Dead Sea Scrolls. They exist in a drawer that he only pulls out when he really needs them. And he may need them pretty soon.
But what if Wayne saw him writing the notes? Would that have been... Would you be in trouble? Is Bennett the type of guy who likes to see his acolytes taking his secrets down like that? Is that
doesn't
that
like things on
did?
Paper. He doesn't like contracts, doesn't like things written down, doesn't like things on paper.
So it would have been secretive Seabold.
He would have viewed him with suspicion, I'd imagine.
Well, that's probably why he's not there anymore.
But rugby league's had its fair share of coaches who use...
suspicion.
Suspicion, but intellectual methods, you know, Brian Smith and his whiteboard. What other things did Brian Smith use? Cranes and all sorts of weird and wacky.
He liked to text a lot. He was on board with communications media.
He was technology then, wasn't he?
Direct messaging was actually, he has part of the patent of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think of Des Hasler, of course. Drones,
Des, the professor.
Drones, cranes, drones.
Yes.
Well, overhead projectors.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, great technology.
Ricky Stewart.
Yeah, he used an overhead projector at Parramatta.
Does he?
Well, he did, yeah. That was how he put up the slide and said, you boys are gone.
Right,
he's what we call a fast follower.
Doesn't mind a texter either. He loves a texter.
He does like a texter.
Now, Mr. Ben Gilly at Fairfax says there's book smarts and then there's street smarts.
Well, we just said that.
He just took it off from us. The new Rabbitohs coach and university qualified Seabold hasn't so much as learnt the rugby league teaching manual. He basically is good enough to rewrite it. Did you know that, Chris? The manual. Good enough to rewrite it.
I'd like a copy of the manual.
Yeah, me too. Tim, does it exist? Have you seen this manual for rugby league coaching?
No, I wish it did exist because then one could follow it and actually possibly get to winning a premiership. I think there's only one person who holds the true dark secrets of NRL at this present stage.
Craig
and
Bellamy.
Craig Bellamy.
Absolutely. Lock and key.
And I think everyone's seen what he's done.
No, they haven't. He's just a puppet of Smith.
No, he's
a puppet of Smith. Cameron Smith is the dark secret.
No.
And is that manual in the same place where the books were kept?
I think Buzz Rothfield's banners you're talking about here.
I'm talking about the Melbourne cookbooks.
Oh, the cookbooks. Well, as we
established
earlier this year.
Yeah, those books.
Hang on, which books?
He's not in the thrall of Smith. Yeah. Bellamy, of course, sold his soul to Mal Meninga.
Yeah.
Right? In exchange.
Well, how much for?
Well,
success.
Success in a sustained thing for the Storm. He says, as a result of this success, I will provide you with a production line of players for the Queensland Origin team.
Yeah.
Right? So that's really where... the evil lies, the manual
that
Bellamy has is sort of actually in Mal Meninga's footlocker.
An alliance.
So it's a murky world out there, isn't it?
It's arcane, it's difficult, it's hard to penetrate.
Yes, you may have seen that film where Al Pacino plays the devil and tries to entice some young good-looking actor who's a lawyer in New York City.
No, wrong one, son of a woman. No, it was... the one with Keanu Reeves.
That's the one.
Yeah.
He actually gets into his wife's mind, you know. Yeah. Nasty stuff. Anyway, here, back to Anthony Seibold here, which is why when Google doesn't uncover much about Seibold, it shouldn't be a huge shock that he thinks Google can uncover a fair bit for him, not for us. Days before he slips into an NRL head coaching hot seat, Seibold will next month walk the halls of the search engine's famous New York headquarters, then jet back to Australia to crunch numbers on South Sydney's pre-season training regimen. Now, that's pretty exciting stuff, you've got to admit.
What I like about this tour, and I mean, Jack Gibson was the first person, I think, who came up with the idea of going overseas, having a great time, and then just dropping in at two gridiron games and saying, well, that's a study tour.
Yes.
And I think you'll find...
fact-finding mission.
And I think you'll find Seibold is actually, on the party circuit. But he's doing extensive stuff, like at Harvard.
I want to see what they're doing over there, he says, he's in this off-season. Then I'm going to go to the New York Jets, and they're the two places I'll have a look at. And said, then on to Harvard for a 4-day professional development course signed off by the man he will replace at Redfern, Madge McGuire. It'll add to a resume that also includes stops at Stanford and UCLA. Now, the course he's doing, of course, is, first of all, it's called Building Effective Teams.
Which is genius, isn't it?
Building Effective
Teams. Of
all
the various things you could do, astrophysics, biology, as we said, theological concerns. He's picked building effective teams. I think he's a sharp operator. Speaking of Harvard, Stephen, I've been to Harvard.
Have you just?
Yeah, my parents were really proud.
That doesn't surprise me.
I actually went to Harvard Law School.
Did you?
For a wedding.
So, this is a battle of book smarts versus street smarts. Any votes on which one's going to win next year in 2018 with this sort of firepower they've got?
It's going to be street smarts.
Street smarts?
It's always going to be street smarts.
Street smarts.
Yeah.
It's interesting because Tim is actually in a suit.
Yes.
So, aren't you indeed a statistician? Aren't you indeed a book smart
guy? Aren't you a Canberra resident?
I am all of these things. I am in a suit, I'm a Canberra resident, and I'm a statistician. But I do know, having been all of those three things, that we are constantly ignored.
Right. So in fight...
Marginalised.
In fight control, street smarts over there, book smarts over there, street smarts will always win. Is that right?
Seems to be. Devil's Advocate, by the way, Stephen, was the name of the movie.
Devil's Advocate.
But I still want to go, hoo-wah, hoo-wah, hoo-wah.
Who wants ice cream? Come get it.
Well, Huey Lewis wants some ice cream, and he believes in book smarts. It's hitting square, he says. Go back to university, kids. Not street smarts. So we've got a battle on our hands here, Chris.
This is the trouble. I mean, the federal government has actually entered into an arrangement with Huey.
Yes.
Because the education tourism dollar is primo in our economy. In fact, it's propping up our economy.
It's a whatever you can pull out of the ground, it's above that.
In the 20th century, Australia was building its economy on the sheep's back.
Yes.
It's now building its economy on the nerd's
back. The mining boom, and now it's the nerd's
geek back. The nerd's back.
The geek back. Yeah. Okay.
And, you'll see a whole thing with a lot of pseudo intellectuals walking around modern campuses with Huey Lewis strumming, doing a version of the song, just acoustic guitar, Dennis Arnold style.
iPad in one hand.
Like Jonathan Richmond in There's Something About Mary, just bobbing up and saying, learning's good, get into books, kids.
Righto.
That sort of thing. And if that's not a threat to rugby league, I haven't heard one.
Well, maybe not from Anthony Seibold's point of view, and thank you very much, Dennis Carnahan. If I say the word Mitchell Pearce to him...
13 try assists, 13 line break assists in 2017.
Fantastic. Nice. I was asking you earlier about how you keep a record, and it's an Excel spreadsheet.
Amongst other things,
amongst
yes.
Amongst other things.
Amongst other things.
The armory is intense, isn't it?
Papyrus and...
It's an access database that is accessed by pivot tables in an Excel.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I interrogate the
if I could stuff. Ask you, wow. If I could, like, you know, being the buffhead that I am, I would say there'd be a column for tries,
yes.
try assists, yes. you know, goals, mm-hmm. Games played, mm-hmm. minutes on field.
Mm-hmm. Post-contact meters? You're doing post-contact meters? Because I don't know what that is.
I'm not doing post-contact meters. It is one of the more... Look, it is a relevant stat, but who's keeping it and what do they decide it is? There's only so many
from
things
where
you
to
can
where.
Do.
Because... Whoa. Why is there only so many things you can do?
Because you're one man. Now, when you're watching the TV and you see the stats come up live,
yes.
what you're seeing is, and I'm sorry about this, Wall, I'm going to name your name. Wall's sitting there in the commentary box at Sports with a scratch pad in front of him. One guy is sitting there,
yes.
and he is doing it. It's not a team of people doing it. There's one guy who's doing
it live.
I
thought it was all done by satellite. Have I got this wrong?
No, and there is a GPS. But does the GPS actually know when you actually hit something? Or does it know? I mean, how do we actually know these things? So he's there keeping it, and then after the match, they actually go through the match for 8 hours and do everything, and they update the record. That's how the stats actually get through. The live ones you're seeing are a little bit arbitrary.
Seems very inefficient.
It does, Tim. If I could say, what do you do for the rest of the week? Come on now. You know, down for the rest of the week and view the footage again and then start taking notes and putting those into the columns.
If you post-rationalizing. And you advance editing. 3 metres in the tackle and then the tackle pushes you back and you go 5 metres back. Is that a minus two on the
absolutely, it should be a minus two.
That's interesting.
So we've got all those columns. You know, they're all the positives or the facts of rugby league. But what we here at Fire Up have been, we're on a mission, aren't we, Chris?
It's a calling, Stephen.
Because we haven't done it. And we should be doing it. Let us say atrocities. Atrocities due to alcohol, one column. Atrocities due to drugs, number two. Hello, you know, Andrew Johns. Atrocities due to assault in the street. Atrocities on field assault.
Poor comedy.
Send-offs. Do you have send-offs?
Yes, I do. And they don't exist, so they're very easy stats to keep. They have disappeared.
I can tell you that one. Last one was Jared Maxwell sent off David Shillington, who was the last send-off. That was 3 years ago.
Yep. Now, we have the testicle grab.
Yes.
The wheels column.
Yeah, the wheels column, right? Okay. And
the John Hoppawatte finger, of course.
That's been a real digital.
Digital penetration. We have the play the ball backwards, Marty Bella style.
That's very good.
The whole world loves
the human bodily function.
The human bodily
that.
Function.
That's a richly...
The Russell Packer.
Russell Packer instance. The Julian...
Donnie McKinnon.
Donnie McKinnon.
You're skirting around
Nate
the sexual assault as well, of course.
You had the Nate Miles in the corridor. I mean, there's so many subcategories. You could be completely...
Being called out by ex-girlfriend on Twitter.
Yes.
So surely on-field performance is affected by these off-field performance statistics?
Surely.
Well, one would think so.
It's all part of the great tapestry of rugby league.
The tapestry.
This is our... chance at Moneyball.
Yes, it is.
unrecognised, statistically relevant thing when we're out there recruiting.
And how many times does the CEO get a phone call after 2 a.m. in the morning? Or after 3 a.m.?
Yep.
Well, there should be also a column of has the full support of the board. Like, there should be coaches' stats. Has the full support of the board. And the distance, like post-contact metres, the distance between has full support of the board and is sacked, which I'd say usually is 2-3 weeks.
Yep. So there's a book in this, isn't there, Chris?
There is.
And it could be added to the regression whether we're actually doing. We're taking all the statistics we've got, and we've actually got a statistician on board who's going to take them and figure out which is the most important descending. And I think we definitely need to add the incident-o-meter into that.
So is this too far a stretch to say that this book will eventually be made a film and Tim's character will be played by Russell Crowe? Is that just completing the loop?
I'd like it to be Rusty. I'd like it to be Rusty, but it's likely to be the fat guy who was
Jonah
Hill.
I see Hugh Jackman here.
Well, yes, I mean, he's finished with Wolverine. Yeah. He's got time on his hands.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman's got a bit too much of a chin to portray me.
they could digitally alter it.
So when I say Mitchell Pearce, I want you to say Rivers of Grog, Yellow Dress. You know,
Butt. Mel's Bubble Butt.
The house, you know.
The dog. Yeah.
Clavelli, you know.
Bella.
The dog, Bella. I want all this stuff, you know. So hasn't he redeemed himself? He went off to the clinic. What's it called again in Thailand?
So it's Deepak Chopra's The Seven.
Yes.
Count them seven, spiritual laws of success.
Okay.
Now, what's really, really interesting, it's made enough of an impression on Mitchell that he's tipped David Clemmer into the same book.
The Clemminator.
Yeah, you know. And so I think you'll see a more... rounded performance in David.
Is this available as an app? Like a Smiling Mind style app?
They tried that, didn't they?
Yes, or is this just has to be a book for Booklinen?
Well, that's the problem. They want it on field, but...
Because Applinen, how does Applinen come in against Booklinen and Street Smarts?
You're right. Tech Smart, Book Smarts and Street Smarts.
Yeah.
Can I read your quote?
Yes.
just to, this is what's happened to these guys.
This is what Clemens going through. And dare I suggest Clemens probably up to level two?
Well, you know, chapter two. Yeah. Well, you got to take. You can't take all these laws in at one time.
No.
The past is history.
Ooh.
The future is a mystery.
Rhyming.
And this moment is a gift.
Wow.
That is why this moment is called, and get this, the present.
You're kidding me.
Oh. How good is that?
Oh. Like a Christmas present.
13 try assists, 13 liner breaks, 2007.
Now, Dennis, you're a writer. You'll have a good rhyming couple.
I just had my mind blown. Right.
Unbelievable.
Rhyming couple. The past is history, the future is a mystery. Now, can you sing that?
Wow.
It's going to be amazing.
I don't know what you
can
sing it to.
The past is history, the future's a mystery.
Beautiful stuff. And this moment is a gift.
And this moment is a gift.
And that is why this moment is called the present.
And that is why this moment's the present.
What was next?
That's it.
And that's it.
Can you unpack it a bit more for me, please, Chris?
So, it says here that Pierce could easily let the past haunt him. Setbacks, he's had a few.
There's a song.
I've had a few.
Adam Pengilly, stand up. Well, take him out.
No, this is a Chris Barrett article.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, from the Fairfax stable. But if Chris Barrett isn't Chris Barrett, aspiring man. To be the new Nick Walshaw, I don't know who is.
Nick?
The off-field drama and the stumbling blocks on it.
Setbacks.
Notably, a halfback of a state team that has been the wrong end of a historic period of... Origin domination. But apparently he's not the first athlete to turn to spiritual and new age guru Chopra
Who else?
To tackle the mind games of sport. Here's a glittering list. Shane Watson.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. The Watto Lotto.
Hit in the highs.
Watto became a devotee of transcendental meditation after reading one of Chopra's books.
TM.
Which is interesting because that's, I think, why he kept getting out LBW, because he actually thought his legs were off the ground, not in front of the stump.
Levitating.
Levitation.
Because that moment can go on for eternity, but the ball will only be a split-second moment, won't it?
And it says that Pierce hasn't gone to these lengths. He's not doing TM, but like Watson, he's not one to ram his interest in a subject down anyone's throat. Hello, Rex Mossop.
Unless it's Clemmer, of course.
That's right, Clemmer.
Who wouldn't want to run something down Clemmer's throat?
I tell you what, if Mitchell Pierce gets between Clemmer and Woods, Des Hasler's job is gone. And what I like about Mitchell is he says that he wouldn't do an interview on it. He just simply says, I do read a few books like that. I've always liked reading. I just enjoy it.
We know
Who
that.
Who knew?
Well, we celebrated the Mitchell Pearce Library. Yes, yeah. And the library consisted just of rugby league autobiographies, didn't it?
And Elle Macpherson's autobiography.
So now he's got a separate area, you know, section two, you know, self-help, spiritual guidance, you know, Indian meditation, how-to books. I mean, it's an amazing library.
Also, what about if we'd be lights, camera, not that much action? Would that be? Yeah,
how to make a success out of, you know, cosmetics, instead of, you know, underwear?
It's terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific in Batman.
Now, that is a feel-good story, and it will unfold tonight. Who's playing tonight, Tim?
We've got the Roosters and the Broncos playing over here at the SFS.
What do the stats say?
The stats say that missing Darius Boyd, Corbin Sims and Andrew McCulloch means there ain't going to be too much defence for the Broncos. Wayne, you might have seen very clearly flick the attack-at-all-cost switch a few weeks ago, and that's worked in some cases, and then against Parramatta it didn't. As you saw, Sarah. They can outscore people, the Broncos, but here's the problem they've got. The Roosters are almost at full strength. They got young Mr. Friend up the front. He's brutal when it comes to this. He's going to want to win.
Can we honour his salute one more time? Can I? The hooker's salute. Do you know what the hooker's salute is?
I do not know what the hooker's salute is.
they throw both arms up every time one of their guys is being held down in a tackle.
Yeah.
And I think Jake Friend is the best at it.
Toves was one of the pioneers of it. Robbie Farrow was pretty good at it.
Yeah, Dean Young did it. They all do it.
No Ted Avano tonight for the Roosters, though. I was at that game. And
of course you were.
And let me tell you. Is
in the cheap seats, as always.
I was. Yeah. Yeah, Bay 13. And is there a more entertaining sight? Well, I thought the Ted Avano tackle at the time looked good, but he hit the head. You've got to avoid the head.
He did.
But I thought the judiciary did a good job. But the highlight for me was when the Roosters had come back from the brink of defeat and sending Stephen interstate tonight to be up at Suncor. Jared had to do a little bit of nifty kicking. So he had the short restart off the kickoff, failed to go the 10, bounced over the sideline, compounded by the fact that he tried to do the short dropout. The Roosters fans blowing up deluxe because he was standing a metre in front of the goalpost and the referees don't enforce that rule anymore. But it actually hit the fence on the full. And for the first time in my life, I felt a little sad for Jared. I really did.
I felt sad for rugby league when you told me that.
Yeah.
I mean, moaning, whinging fans, Roosters fans. Oh,
let me tell you about the Roosters fans also. How long have we got? But it's my own. It's my own form of religious penance. It's like sitting with a birch branch, whipping myself repeatedly, wearing a hair shirt, sitting amongst Roosters fans. Ever since Robbo blew up about Cummins at I think it was Chuck Nado a couple of years ago at the Anzac Day. They death ride Cummings and Cummins. They're all calling Cummings for some reason.
Yes.
They death ride Cummo.
Cummo.
So, of course, there was a flow of penalties, and Tim, you probably remember this. There was a flow of penalties Gold Coast way as Gold Coast got to the lead, and the crowd's absolutely beside themselves. Hugely angry.
Baying for blood, yes.
But then when Cummins blows them a penalty their way, they're even more angry.
Incensed.
Because I said, it's like a relationship right at the end when it's all gone
And you give me
pot.
This.
And someone says, you know what, I'm now going to try. And you just go, what, now?
Now?
And so they're angry when they get penalised. They're more angry when they receive a penalty.
One word. Eastern Suburbs we're talking about, right?
Sydney Roosters. Let's everyone remember that. They're not Easts. They're Sydney.
Okay, I thought they were Eastern Suburbs, yes.
The tricolours, the Chooks.
Yeah. Entitled.
Oh!
You know.
Beautifully put, Stephen.
Our Prime Minister, just entitled. You
John
know.
Howard, there you go.
It's the Tory, it's in Tory blood.
And you know
they
what?
They can't help it.
Yeah, but there's only 5,000 of them that regularly turn
the
up.
The Roosters
so,
are
I mean,
Piper,
how much...
that's what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I don't want to tar the holy stuff with the same brush. A lot of hard working class you know, men and women there. You know,
oh, yes.
But the where? Roosters fans, it's entitled.
Where?
Book smart. I got slapped on the back by a Roosters fan.
Yes, yes.
I got slapped by a back Roosters fan, said, fire up, I love it. But he didn't want to actually talk to me because he didn't want to be associated with the street smart show that we are.
Fair enough, too.
No one's going to give us a chance. So it's a free throw at the stumps, really. If we're allowed to play a little bit of football, we might be a chance. I think tonight, you know, they laid all over us, wrestled it. You know, it was, play the ball's pretty slow. Oh, they're the best at it, but, you know, they tackle well, they work together well, they've got great systems.
I was having a go at this about, you know, defence and smother him or whatever, you know, he likes to call it, you know. I'll be talking to the referees boss this week about, you know, them guys, how they just lay all over opposition attack inside their 20 metre zone. You know, they just go to sleep there sometimes. So, again, you know, he wants to fire a few shots off at us. You know, we'll be firing a few shots back because, as I said, you know, their players lay on in the play the ball inside that 20 metres. Is, yeah, you know, like I say, I'm not quite sure they get away with some of it, but
I'd say street smarts,
pretty much from the
no book smarts there.
No, not the way the language was.
He doesn't like his G's
delivered by Bellamy.
No,
there.
Bellamy, yeah,
them
yeah,
guys,
yeah, them guys, yeah, yeah. And of course, Tim will ask a personal, first-hand experience recollection, if we could, about Craig Bellamy in just a moment. Mm. But what I'd like to say is that's a little to and froing. Once again, every year, like clockwork, everybody decides to bring up the fact that Melbourne are the masters, you know, of slowing down the play the ball. He denies this.
Yeah, I mean, to me, what we've got here is, you know, classic modern referee posturing. I actually think that Brad Arthur should be now called Mickey Mouse because he is the Sorcerer's Apprentice. I mean, yes, he stood at the feet of Bellamy and he learned all these dark arts of the wrestle, the grapple, the tackle, delay, etc., etc.
Yes.
And they're trying to, you know, influence the referees by one-upmanship. They kind of, in the end, cancel out. All they're really doing is adding dimensions to the meaning of the pot calling the kettle black, I think. Yes, they're really enriching
and
that
phrase. And if you were the master, you would like to dispense your knowledge under the, I guess, the bubble of secrecy. You know, you sign away in blood, say, never repeat what I've trained and taught you.
Which
and these maverick renegade
sort
of...
This is the problem. This is what Seibold, he's broken that trust with Bennett.
Yes.
And now
yeah,
Bellamy, an acolyte of Bennett, is trying to establish the same thing. And Arthur's gone rogue. And all hell's going to break loose down at Amy Stadium.
Because the whole world of rugby league, all they want to see is Semi Radradra running riot all over Melbourne, right?
Yeah. Over Vutavalu.
Hey?
This is the Fijians. It's going to be the battle of the Fijians on the wing.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Hard nuts running fast.
Oh, fast.
That's all we want to see. We don't want
crazy,
to see slow play
crazy
the
eyes.
No grapples, no arms.
And that beard. Yeah. It's like Reg's beard. That
no
beard.
No wishbones, none of that stuff, right? Mm. We don't want that. So, the dark arts that is Melbourne.
I've got to say, I was really... That press conference continued, and Bellamy, he gave me a big shout-out. I don't know if you heard it. He said every year these people come out and they say, Melbourne, lie on the ruck, you know, it's the same song, different singer.
Yeah.
It's like, I wrote that song. Thanks, Bellamy.
Same singer.
I've played it on Fire Up.
You got a couple of words for a couple of lines for us?
couple of lines. Oh, it's a,
can you remember?
I can actually. I probably got it here somewhere.
Yeah, while you're doing that, Cooper Cronk playing his potentially his last home game. Is that right?
That would be right.
Would that be right, Tim?
Yeah, it will be for Melbourne. If they lose, they're not going to.
Right.
Right. Okay.
It's his second last game.
So if they win, they go back there next week.
Back to Amy.
Look, God, I'd miss the cowbell. I love the cowbell, you know, and if they're not there next week, I'd hate to. No cowbell would be a great loss to rugby league. But Cooper Cronk, of course, still won't reveal what he's doing next year. And, of course, he was a. Were you saying he was a bit of a sook?
I'm not. No, I would never
he's a dummy
dare
spitter.
To say
dummy
that.
Dummy spitter.
When he was a young man, he came to Melbourne. He had a bit of a chip on his shoulder. He thought he was all this and that and so on. And he got dropped one week and apparently spat the dummy. And Craig Bellamy told him what was what and what was going to happen and how it wasn't. And Cooper very, very quickly fell into line.
Entitled Brisbane private schoolboy.
He became the player that he is today.
Since there are any big heads are quickly shown the door, it's how Bellamy was brought up. No chips. That's street smart.
That's street smart.
I heard of it, yeah.
And if you don't like it, you leave.
You leave.
And Cooper went, I'm on board with this, and now we see this dispassionate man who goes about his business. He doesn't get paid to be passionate. He gets paid to win, and he does.
Business.
It's all business.
Robot.
Almost like an android.
Mechanical.
Almost, if you didn't know any better,
you'd think.
Yeah.
Android.
But you know, of course, he went down the book smart route with CooperCronk.com, and Bellamy shut that down quick smart because that's against the ethos of the street smart. Storms.
It was actually a really good website. Did you ever read it?
It was compelling.
Great comedy gold.
But it was not appropriate for a Street Smart Storms way of life. By the way, can I say this publicly?
Yeah, of course you can.
The best team in rugby league to watch right now is the Melbourne Storm.
Don't you hate it? You have to admit it.
So
you have to
upsetting?
Admit it. It's horrible to say it.
I was just about to say the very thing that I'm sick and tired of hearing every commentator talk about, the glories of Cameron Smith. Record after record being broken.
That's true.
The future is glittering, is endless. Not like this show.
356. I just say Beaver Menzies. Come on, what about Beaver?
Oh, dear.
356.
Oh,
it means nothing.
Do they include Super League?
How powerful is Cameron Smith, though, that Parramatta, of course, are going down to Melbourne and they want to get back to their own beds on the same night? Correct?
Absolutely.
What's the issue, Chris?
So the game is a 4:10 fixture at Amy Park. And, look, I don't know if people know the geography of Melbourne that well. You've got to get sort of either through or around the CBD to get out to Tullamarine.
Mm.
But if they're doing the mass, they figure if they...
Do the press conference.
Yeah, do the press conference, shake don't hands. Shower. They'd be able to get to... Because they, you know, they're assuming they're going to win, but even if they don't, they're either playing next week or the week after. Rest is everything. Familiarity is everything.
Yes,
the last Qantas plane flies out at 8. Now, I've often got on at 10 o'clock, but I don't know what that is.
Yes.
So they've said, can you just hold the plane on the tarmac for 15 minutes and we won't shower?
Who was on the tarmac? Cameron Smith.
Cameron Smith.
On the tarmac.
With the ping pong bats. Bring it through, fellas.
They just, if you hold it for 15 minutes, make it an 8:15 plane. We'd really appreciate it. It'd do us a solid. Yeah. And the next thing you know, Alan Joyce's phone rings.
Yes.
Hello, Alan. It's Cameron Smith here. Under no circumstances.
Whispering.
Yes. Under no circumstances.
Are we allowed?
Is that plane going to be delayed?
Or if it does, let it fly around Melbourne for a few hours and then bring it down.
The minute you start holding, delaying. The minute one plane in the Australian air system runs late, chaos follows because the Australian planes never fail to be on time.
Is that book smarts or is that just evil?
The purest.
That
darkest.
Is from the street.
They plan for every single possible event they can have.
Hence, if they Parramatta, who is one of their obstacles in front of them, of the summons proven trophy is just a little bit more off their game because they won't get home till Sunday morning.
It could be that they're incensed that Parramatta, Brad Arthur enlisted the help of whistleblower Jared Sutton to training. Bit of inside sort of twisting of the arm.
He just wants to show that them blokes lie on us as bad as we lie on them. So nothing to be seen here. Just get on with the game.
Right. Far up. We're back in just a moment.
Feels good.
Feels good.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Fired up.
Fired up.
Fired up.
Fired up.
Thank you.
25,000 people in New York City. I asked them, are you fired up? And they were all fired up. And I asked them, are you ready to go? And they're all ready to go.
We're ready to go. Dennis Carnahan.
Be careful what you say. They're listening to you. Don't bag the referees. Ooh. Mary, Mary, what's on your mind? Be careful, don't talk about Badger and Klein. Mary, Mary, you know that you, you can't comment on the referee or question their integrity. So why would you call them embarrassing and incompetent? Mary had a good wine tonight, got 2017's first coaching fine. Oh, Mary, you got that wrong. And now the dragon season is done and gone.
Look at him. He's grinning like a fool. How much do you love the Dragons, Dennis?
I love them. I love them. What I love about them, Stephen, is they win the first six of the season. Oh, how good. This is going to be great. And then, true to form, the form comes out at the end. They choke.
There's no Saints game marching being played today, is there, Chris?
How true are the words, never before, never again.
But you know, that wasn't actually a choke. You know, the Bulldogs actually over the last 10 matches have had the Dragons' number. They've had their number, and the stats clearly said out of the last 10, I think
A big nod to the Easy Beats and In Excess
Barnsley.
Dennis Carnahan, we'll get to you in a moment. Tim Gore is our special guest coming up from Canberra. Tim, you're on radio for the ABC.
I am indeed.
You collect stats, you talk information about stats, etc.
I do, yes.
Grandstand?
Yes.
How many hours, give us your routine on a Saturday, for example, or a Sunday?
On a Saturday and a Sunday, basically I don't have to do anything that Mr. Gable doesn't call me in to do. So on game day, I will come to the ground minimum 2 hours before the game starts. I'll usually be the first person
there. What do you bring with you?
I bring my computer, which has all my database, my access database. Yeah. I bring my my pads with all the manual stats that I keep at the same time.
Okay.
And
trigonometry
then,
books.
And then I will take the sideline eye stuff, which I will sometimes do sideline when I'm not doing stats, and I'll go downstairs and we'll test that system, and I'll go and I'll smell the liniment in the shed.
Do you?
I love it. It's my favourite part of the day when I go down there and I'm excited and I'm seeing all the players come out and
some of the indigenous players get their hand in the dirt, feel the dirt of the ground, and some of them, like I think Cameron might, he picks up a bit of grass and throws it in the air. Sort of stuff.
Freddie Phillip takes his shoes off and feels the grass.
I get the sideline. Our great David Packwood. I get his stuff ready and make sure it's all set, and I put his big leg on there and get it, his water and stuff like that. And I'll talk to the referees and the ground manager and a couple of the players, and I'll just suck that, and I'll feel the turf. I love it.
Are you going to be at Allianz tonight?
I am not, unfortunately. I am not.
Can you get a contact high off liniment?
But I seriously do. It's my favourite. It's my favourite point of the game. And every game, I go down to the tunnel, and I just want to be there because it's the most exciting point. That expectation that the match is coming, and I love football.
Wow!
And is there? Well, I think we all do, don't we? Yes. But, is there a?
Well, I don't like rugby league, but I love football.
Is there a collegiate atmosphere amongst the sideline eyes, or do you view each other with suspicion, trying to get the unique information about who's snapped their collarbone or whatever?
No, mostly we actually work together. I've done a few with Scott Prince, and I hid underneath at Penrith Park one time, hid underneath an umbrella one time when it was raining so hard that someone asked me for a comment, and I said, "What, are they still playing out there?" But, he'd go to one dressing room, I'd go to the other. We came back and swapped stories. The Fox people, they must have am I allowed to say dickhead? Yes. They must have a no dickheads policy because they're almost, to a man and a woman, excellent people to work around. Yes, and so are the...
What's the future of data collection? I mean, is it possible that, say, drones, etc., could be, and GPS could be transmitting data to your computer?
Absolutely, and it probably is to a certain extent, where they've got the little things in the back of their jerseys, and we'll get into that and we'll know exactly what they
are. Billy Birmingham family came up with a scrotometer, remember, about how much humidity was in the scrotum region?
Moisture level.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's some place you don't want to know the answer to that. I mean, mean, we can go ask Junior Paulo and Josh Papali about it.
I thought you were going to play a quote from George Brandis there for a moment about metadata. What's the future of data collection and retention in this society?
And the one thing about smelling the tunnels before the match is it's much better than smelling the tunnels after the match.
Do you give that reading as well? Have you got a column for that?
Oh, no, hopefully by that stage my nose is blocked.
I'm a big rep for Emma Lawrence, who's been doing sideline work for Fox recently, because it turns out she's Chris Lawrence's sister.
I saw that. And did you see the interview where she absolutely hammered into him? It was great. And
why hasn't he revealed that he's a cross-dresser? Yeah. Hi, Chris. Doing great work out there.
Wasn't that a man used to sponsor?
Yes. I've been professionally associated with Chris.
He was wishboned, wasn't he?
Tremendous kid. Yeah, well, he dislocated his hip, and he was actually in the press recently as having reached out to a young kid who'd suffered the same injury. And a really heartwarming story. The kid came on and played 13 minutes in his grand final, having recovered from hip injury.
Oh, wow.
Kudos to Chris Lawrence.
Yeah, fantastic.
Nice.
Only rugby league can produce those stories.
It's true. Redemption.
Now, of course, you have many moments like those heartwarming stories in your musical, which is already underway every Monday night, correct,
every
Dennis?
Mad Monday. So every Monday in September is a Mad Monday because...
Started last week.
Either eight or two teams have been bundled out, so they're off. So last Monday, there was eight teams off on their Mad Monday.
Does that mean your material, like ours, dries up? Over the period,
it generates more and more because on the Mad Monday, that's when we get the stories. Now they haven't come out yet.
We'll get to that at the end, but there's not much so far. It's a bit threadbare.
Not yet.
Yeah, no. It's I tell you what, you're talking about all this data being collected. It's hard to collect data on the Mad Monday goings on of various teams. But we've got some views.
They've put them all in a Faraday cage, so there's no mobiles. It's all blocked.
And a new facility out at Callan Park.
How do they get tickets?
To Rugby League the Musical. Oh, look, you can go to Moshtix or Ticketek or go to rugbyleaguethemusical.com.au.
Yep. Kickoff time is?
Kickoff time 7:30. Doors at 7 o'clock. Kickoff at 7:30.
Location?
Location, Bridge Hotel Roselle.
Wonderful.
Across the road from the Meth Lab.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be there on the 18th.
We will be, Stephen.
We will be there on the
18th. How exciting is
that? How about another song, Dennis?
Oh, another song.
What are you going to do?
I'll stay on the same track. And this year, there's been a great bit of work by one of the referees, Ashley Klein. Because Ash has he got Ricky he didn't get Ricky over the line. Who had a go at Ricky? It was the Kiwi. Perenara tried to get Ricky, but Ricky didn't quite fire up enough. Whereas Mary McGregor, the last song was about, that was Ash Klein. This one's another coach who Ash got fined.
Right.
Paul Green. I'm begging of you, please, don't bag Ash Klein. Paul Green. Don't make them give you a 10K fine. With Thurston Scott and Cooper gone, your outlook now is quite forlorn of winning like you did in 2015. And Alan Shortle and Ashley Klein really know the way to wind up under pressure coaches like Paul Green. Calling it the worst refereeing display ever probably wasn't all that clever. Just last week they fined Paul McGregor, Paul Green. And you know that Brian Canavan is always going to take a stand, cause the NRL really needs 10 grand. Paul Green, sing it with me, Paul Green. Paul Green, Paul Green, Paul Green. I'm begging of you, please don't bag Ash Klein. Paul Green, Paul Green, Paul Green, Paul Green. Don't make them give you a 10K fine.
Rugby League is the gift that keeps on giving, I say. Who would have thought you'd get a little ode to Paul Green with all of us singing along at the end of the year?
Who would have thought he'd still be viable at this stage in the competition?
Can I ask, given that I think none of our teams are in the final series, who would you like to see win, Dennis?
Oh, look.
The big one? Or who would you like to see in the final game?
Imagine saying it. I'd like to see Parramatta win it. And the reason is, I think it continues the pattern. Last year, the Sharks had never won. Yes. Year before, Cowboys had never won. Yeah. Year before, Souths hadn't won since Black and White Television. 2010, the Dragons, who hadn't won since the 70s. So clearly, they're going through the recycling.
Yep.
And I think it's time, Parramatta, because that will mean that my Raiders are due, because they're the longest. That will make them, because they're the second longest losing streak.
One word? Redemption.
Redemption. Redemption.
Now, Tim, who would you like to see in the grand final?
I agree with what he says about Parramatta, but I've got a very soft spot for the Penrith Panthers. My favourite ground to go with, the nicest crowd, and I love young Cleary.
You must be very concerned about the headspace of Matty Moylan.
No, not at all. Not one little bit.
Chris, who would you like to see in the grand final?
In the grand final?
In the grand final.
Well, I'd like to see Penrith win the grand final because I tipped them at the beginning of the year and I want to appear street and book smart.
Yeah.
And I guess I'd like to see the Tigers in the grand final, yeah, but that ain't going to happen.
Right, right. So you're a double threat. You're street and book.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, divergent.
Don't you call me polygamous or something? Isn't that what you call me?
The polymath.
Ah, that's right.
Divergent. Yeah. Yeah.
Divergent. Yeah. He's all of the above.
Can I say there was a nice gentleman.
Polygamous polymath.
That would
not
be
quite the same thing.
That would be my dream job. A very nice gentleman called Troy came up to me outside the gates at Leichhardt Oval last Sunday night, and he was actually playing the Fire Up podcast. And I called
I called
security, but yeah, cool. We had a nice chat, and he said he kind of likes the polymath thing. And I also need to send a shout out to fantastic Sydney DJ G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
Who I was at a function DJing on Saturday, and she came up and she says, Chris, you know, I hate rugby league. But I love Fire Up.
Has she got the T-shirt?
I love Fire Up. And boy, does she love you.
She's only human.
Well, she's
flesh and blood.
Now, Mad Monday. Chris, what are the stats?
Okay, so...
What do you got to report?
Not a huge amount.
Oh, dear.
But this is what we know so far. First of all, the Dragons, I mean, it's just too new. I don't know what happened to them. I don't know that
they're in tears still.
Yeah, I don't think they're able to.
Give them a couple of weeks.
The Rabbits, no Mad Monday. Normal day with season debrief and staff medical. So they wouldn't have much of a time unless they got into the doctor's kit bag, and they, which a couple of the South boys have been known to do down the prescription route. Might have been a bit better. Bulldogs, club-organised event in the city. I think you were near that, weren't you, Stephen?
The Bulldogs?
Yeah. You were down the road from you, were saying, the Bulldogs event, the Mad Monday event?
That's up on the rocks, near the workplace. But they're dressed as superheroes.
Here we go. Raiders, continuing Mad Monday ban under Coach Ricky Stewart in place since he arrived in 2013.
How Canberra is that?
I mean,
Canberra the capital, not Canberra Rugby League.
Oh, yeah.
Ricky Stewart is not the fun police. He's the fun... Federal Police. More promising, the Tigers held a club-organised event at the Sydney Night Spot.
Yet to be disclosed?
Well, I think it's already been a run. But
oh,
you know.
Okay.
Titans club-organised event on the Gold Coast. Come on now.
Yeah. Now,
schoolies.
I watch with cocaine, right? do they go and switch off the CCTVs, the internal cameras, all phones left at the door in a bag, no journalists allowed, et cetera, et cetera?
I don't know. If you're at Movie World, do they have CCTV? The Knights was a bit of a damp squib. They held a function organised by the players. You can just imagine, you know, like Metalli, have you got the cocktail Frankfurts?
Yes.
You know, who
where's party
the,
pies. Yeah,
where's the Dark and Stormy?
Fairy bread.
You know, players can't organise a function. I think they just would have all been sitting around staring blankly at
each other. Come on, the Ross Dog could organise something, I'm sure he could.
Yeah. Unless, of course, they go to the Colburn Winery Estate.
Could be nice. In fact, they could have done one of those Day on the Green things.
Yeah, they just pick the menu, pick the wines, where they go.
Ooh. And finally, obviously, the best Mad Monday boy was the Warriors because they would not comment.
Says it all, doesn't it?
Mm.
Says it all. Mm. Don't even look at us. Don't talk to us. Don't even think about us. The Warriors are a sad state. Now, Dylan Walker, we're very excited about this because we've been talking about the Hall of Shame, a new building, a new complex that we're crowdfunding here at Fire Up to be built in the Moore Park precinct, but away from NRL headquarters.
That's right.
Where the glories, the atrocities of rugby league, the history of, once we get the stats here from Tim, we can place in the certain wings. So we'll have the common assaults, and we'll have the drug and alcohol wing. But the Hall of Grubs... The great grubs, and we've been lacking some grubs with Ennis retired, Gal sort of become an elder statesman of rugby league.
Yeah, very much so.
Who is left to fill the boots?
Dylan Walker.
Dylan Walker. Now, Dylan Walker apparently has been giving some spray. I don't actually have refs here, so I'm not hearing what he's saying on the field, but it's enough to get up under the skin of the whole Penrith team.
Mm-hmm. I can give you two words.
He's quite chirpy.
Yeah, he's
chirpy.
You want to get Penrith agitated, hot under the collar? Just go Gus Gould. And
But they did use that word chirpy over and over again, did they?
Yeah,
he's a chirpy little bug. Oh, he's chirpy. Mm. And I suppose that's part of the game, blah, blah, blah. And
they started it, and I gave it back, and they can give it to me this weekend. Bring it on.
Emerging
great attitude.
Public enemy number one in Sydney's West, Walker, flattened Penrith's pair, Tyrone Peachey and Trent Merrin last Saturday with his shoulder, gave Merrin two animated sprays, and they said he was...
Animated sprays.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Now,
augmented reality.
Yeah.
Merrin had to look at his phone, and he could actually see the gob coming at him.
There's an app for that?
Tim, talking of sprays and animated sprays, you were next door to a room that that Craig Bellamy, as played by Al Pacino in The Devil's Advocate, wasn't happy about something that happened. One tiny mistake.
So, yeah, right next to the ABC grandstand commentary box at Canberra Stadium is the opposition coaches' box, and they were in front of the Melbourne Storm on this particular day, and by enough that I was very surprised, something very minor went wrong, and the room next door exploded. And exploded. There were profanities and violence coming from that room, and I've heard a lot of reserve grade and under 20s coaches going off in there.
Window smashing, that's like hitting.
The window, there's an opaque window between us, and myself and Tim Gavel were actually frightened at one stage it was breaking, it was going to break. His abuse and his screaming was actually coming through. He was going for 10 minutes.
Okay.
And I knew then why the Melbourne Storm are successful, because they are terrified to come back 100%. In those sheds unless they've done their job.
Right, so they're talking about the carrot and the stick. It's definitely the stick.
Oh, there was so much stick there. I was scared. I really just, I wanted to give him my wallet and run.
I can't wait to get Craig Bellamy here on Fire Up.
It'll be a great day. And if we can get Brad Mickey Mouse Arthur in the same room.
Yes.
Because he's cut from the same cloth. I mean, they pumped the Broncos by 20+. And he was happy with the try after 12 seconds and then unhappy for the next 79 minutes.
Yes.
And they beat the Broncos on the road. These cranky coaches, they're onto something. They're street smart.
Does he get a medical checkup every week? Mm. I mean, really? His heart? Blood pressure?
Look, I think he does fully believe. Who was the old Green Bay Packers coach from the 60s?
Vince Lombardi.
There is nothing wrong with losing as long as your last dying breath as you lie bleeding on the field is, I gave it my all.
Right.
I think that's pretty much what Bellamy's saying. Don't come back here losing. Stay on the field dead.
Bellamy's never really encouraged Bellamy. Sledging, has he?
Hasn't encouraged
Has he? I don't know if Melbourne are known for sledging.
They're not known for sledging. Yeah, no. There's the occasional players.
They're known for lecturing. Hello,
lecturing.
Cameron Smith.
Whispering.
Oh, no, there is. Cajoling. There is a bit of sledging. The clean skin Cooper Cronk and his mate Will Chambers, who last year were all over the beloved Toots Croker. And you don't touch Toots. They were ripping his headgear off and saying, you are not a rep player. That's why you're not playing Origin, because we're rep players.
Might also have something to do with the fact that Croker doesn't know the difference between an 8-point try and a penalty try, but
that wasn't the issue at this time.
You leave my captain alone.
That was the issue at this point.
So, Tim, if I could ask you, who are the not the biggest pests, but the biggest grubs in the game? Would you put Josh Maguire up the list there somewhere?
He is not a popular man.
He's not.
I've heard lots of rumours from up Queensland way that a lot of people don't like him. That's right. It wasn't. And I'm not going to reveal any names, Billy Moore. but that. A lot of the thing was he wasn't a very likable guy.
Even with his own team.
Yeah, even with his own side. Yeah. But I think he's really turned that around this season.
His mother, his sister, his brothers?
I don't know. No, but
nobody likes him.
They certainly like him a lot more, because last year I just thought he was a bit of a grub and an idiot.
Yes.
But he's really stepped up this year. Now, no one can fill the great Corey Parker's shoes, but his work rate has improved. His missed tackles are down. He's one of their shining lights. If they've got a hope tonight,
Tim,
just rest with him.
Is he still a grubbing idiot?
He's a grubbing idiot.
Can we just get a statistic off Tim? Tim, over the last couple of years, who's given away the most penalties?
Jimmy Maloney. Yeah.
Jimmy Maloney's given away the most
playing
penalties.
Playing tonight.
Has 128 Maloney penalties in the last 5 years.
Well, that's just
has he been sent off?
He's never been sin-binned.
Really?
Imagine
that,
giving away
128 penalties in 5 years and he's never been sin-binned.
Where's the correlation?
He's likeable.
Well, because if you give away, on average, in that whole period, 2.5 penalties a game, which is a record for the game, and you have never been sin-binned, how does that read with Tony Archer's edict at the beginning of the game that they're going to start sin-binning repeat penalties, and Jimmy Maloney regularly repeat penalties, and he never gets sin-binned?
Because he's a likeable bloke, that's why.
He is, and he is likeable. That's the thing, he's really likeable.
And Tony's listening, of course.
He's always listening.
Pointed message.
And he's taking notes.
I think I pointed out before that there's a lot of talk that the absolute heir to Ennis's throne is actually Vunivalu.
Really?
Yeah, he is really good at getting under people's skin. You watch tonight, whenever they're playing on the weekend, he gets them all fired up.
Where will you be tonight, Chris?
Oh, look, can you believe it, Stephen? I won't be at Allianz Stadium.
It's a death trap.
Death trap. And I'm worried for you. I'm worried on the back of what happened with St. George. That there are 3-game schedule at a death trap. In the event of alien invasion, this could be it for you.
I'll be at 3.
There's no way I'm going anywhere near it.
No, okay. Now, the biggest news, of course, of rugby league this week was, of course, the release of Macklemore as the grand final entertainment. And All the talk was Alan Jones, the man who knows everything about everything, including high art and culture. He wasn't happy, was he?
Is this a good use of funding? I go to a game to see football. I don't go for a raucous concert.
Now, if he was going to choose some entertainment, what would he choose?
Well, I think, you know, in honour of Dennis, he'd like to put on Rugby League the Musical, but Dennis's fee was too high.
Right.
So he's gone for another small Sydney musical on at the moment, My Fair Lady.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dennis.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you so much.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!